remind everyone, we had gifts for our moms for Mother's Day. And if you are a mom and you weren't here on Mother's Day, please feel free to come down and get one of these prayer journals that we have in the baskets up here. And I believe we have enough that if you would like to get one and maybe take it to your mom and encourage her in spending time with God and making some notes therein, we have enough. So we just want you to be blessed with what's been provided. So take advantage of those. Amen. All right. God is saying something today. Are you listening? Pastor Richard turned around and asked me if I had shown Brother Steve my notes, and I said, no, I did not. But he was definitely in them. And I believe it's because God is doing something in our midst. If you are here today, it is not by accident. We have a lot of people that are watching online. If you're watching right now, if you're watching this later than live, it's not by accident. There is something that God wants you to know. God wants his people well and whole. And you are here today because God wants to effect that in you completely. And there are sometimes issues that we have, stuff we're going through that we're acutely aware of. And then sometimes there are things down on the inside of us that need some changing that we don't even realize. And God is interested in all of it because he wants his people whole. He cares about you. He cares about how you are, how you feel, how you function, and whether or not you achieve the fullness of your purpose. Now, I want to ask you a question, and I want you to be very careful with your answer. But how many of you that are here today want, with everything that is in you, to fulfill every single purpose and destiny that God has set before you? Some of y'all need to pray about that. It is a challenge, I understand. That's why I said think carefully about it. Because it's going to take some determination. It's going to take some what they call elbow grease. It's going to take some want to. You got to want to. You're going to have to make some decisions. But everything that you need to do it has already been provided. Brother Demetrius started us off with that. Greatness is already in you because God is in you. Nothing can come against you that you are not equipped to handle. Just as you are right now, if you know him, then greatness is in you. But he said a lot of things to us, and he's given us a lot of tools. And he set a way before us to walk in it. We don't just stand still and wait and see what happens. We got to get moving. So we're talking today a little bit about getting moving, moving in that direction. Opportunities before us, we want to be able to take advantage of those. Now, I know I said last week that was probably my last Sunday to teach on prayer. I apologize. I was wrong. It has happened before, and I'm sure it will happen again. But there's just something that God wanted to drive home, and I heard him say it Wednesday. Something that he wants to drive home to you, and if you've been in prayer meeting and if you've been in any of these assemblies, you've heard some of it already. But what is the price of education? Repetition. You can't just hear something once and then perfectly function in it. We need to hear it again and again and again so that it becomes part of our makeup. So if there is repetition and redundancy this morning, I am not going to apologize. But I want all of us to get this message that God has because it is right now message. It is a where we are message, not just the people in this room, not just House of the Lord, not just our country, but in the entire earth, this is what God is doing. Do you want to be in the middle of what God is doing? Participate in it. Because if we will participate in it, then we will be able to be used mightily. Not participating in it is not a matter of, well, that's a black mark by your name and I'm not doing anything with you. No. But if you don't do the workout and you don't do the warm-up, what's going to happen if you run the marathon? Oh, injuries, cramps, all kinds of stuff, heat stroke, pulled muscles. Something will happen that is wrong, that should not have happened. If we miss out on the training, if we miss out on the prep, then we miss out on the race. It's for your protection. If you just want to sit and be happy and wait till you die and go see Jesus, God will let you. But if you want to live on the edge, if you want to say, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but God told me this today, and so I'm stepping out, and everybody else says that this investment is a loser and don't touch it and stay away from it, but this is what God said, so this is what I'm going to do. And I can't wait to wake up tomorrow and see what happened. And all of a sudden, yours is the only one that sees the benefit, that is a blessing, because you were obedient. That's where I want to live. We may not always know, you know, exactly how the details are going to work out, but it's an exciting process because God is always good. He doesn't set us up for failure, so it's going to be good. Amen? Amen. So there are opportunities before us, and if I had to title this message, I would call it Restoration of All Things. We're going to start out in Acts, and I'm going to try to go through this really fast because I have a lot of notes, but I think it's just because I used all caps and really big font so I could read it. So I don't think it's that much more than usual. But Acts chapter 3 and verse 21, it says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, the anointed word, who was preached to you before," and this is our pivotal scripture, "whom heaven must receive, must hold," some translations say, "until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." The restoration of all things. Sometimes I think we assign a really lofty understanding to that, that it's the, you know, kings have to do something and the body of Christ, the church as a whole, needs to achieve some sort of ascendancy. And I don't really understand what they mean, but God's taking care of that. I'm just going to live my life. But what is included in the word all? If you look it up in the Greek, it means all. Are you part of his creation? Then you are part of all. So the restoration of all things begins with, point to yourself, say me. God is bringing restoration. Now it says that the heavens must hold him or receive him until that time of restoration. So the goal is bringing Jesus back. The goal is his return to the earth. There's a lot involved in that. Winning souls is part of that restoration. Some people think that that's all there is we have to win souls and get people into the church so that they don't die and go to hell, and that's all we have to do. That is a large-scale portion of it. It is necessary. God is not willing that any should perish. But there's a lot more to it than that. So I want to take you to a big picture view and then bring it home where you can make it personal. You remember we began talking about restoration with Nehemiah, and he was a Hebrew, but when they were taken captivity, he was brought in, and he was eventually promoted to cupbearer to the king. And this is a heathen king, but is a king. So Nehemiah hears word that the walls of the city of Jerusalem are broken down. And we know through other books of the Bible, through Ezra and others, that the temple was restored, but the walls around the city were broken down. And so he was distressed, and he went to the king, and he said, "I want to do this thing. I'm not sure how to accomplish it." And the king said, "Well, what do you need? Tell me what you need. Let's do it. Let me send you out." And as I was praying before the Lord and studying that, God said that he, God, is the king, and Nehemiah is a representation of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit goes and he searches. And when you read Nehemiah, it talks about how he went at night so nobody would know. And he looked and he searched out all of the broken places and the breaches and the burnt places in the walls. Everything that had been messed up by the enemy. And he didn't tell anybody what he was doing. God doesn't air your dirty laundry to anybody. He doesn't let everybody else know, but he sends the Holy Spirit to search the heart. Searches the heart, and he knows the heart of God. And God says, okay, let's begin the restoration process. And that's what Nehemiah did, restoring those walls of the city. And what's beautiful about that is if you look at the name of Nehemiah, what it means is comforter. What a beautiful message that God gave us of how he wants restoration of us. Amen? I'm not going to get ahead of myself. Okay. So God is working on the restoration of all things. He is doing a new thing in the earth, and we've entered a new era. You've sensed that, right? 2020 came. We had all these exciting words of all this fabulous stuff that God was going to do, and he's beginning to change things, and all of a sudden the whole world shut down. God, we had plans. We had stuff on the calendar. And what did God say? I don't want to see your calendar. Don't bring me your calendar. Bring me your heart. Slow down. Come before me. Get before me for what must be done. And so he began that process in us. So the God is doing a new thing in the earth. I believe that we are in the beginning stages of the phase in of the end times. I don't think we're in the end times yet. There are a lot of things that God wants to do in the church and through the church, but it has begun. That restoration of all things is the era that we are in, and God had to shut all of it down in order to bring the new, what he wants. Governments, rulers, leaders in authority, all of these things, God is changing. You know, the word says that Jesus came in Luke 19:10, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. It was not just the souls of men, but it was the entire earth that he created. For God so loved the world, the cosmos, that he gave his only son. God is working right now in the governments of the earth to right the wrongs, to bring rulers who will look well to the affairs of their people. And godly leadership is being restored in the nations. Restoration of all things. Now, how do we cooperate with that process? 1 Timothy 2, praying for this leadership, praying for these rulers. Well, that's not a godly man. I want him out. Guess what? It's not up to you to dictate who, what, when, and where. It is up to you to say, we have godly leadership. And God will bring it in. We say what he says. Father, I thank you that in my nation and in my country, the righteous rule and the people rejoice. And that the leaders will seek you and be wise and seek your ways. And if they will not, you will replace them with one who will. Because we will have godly leadership. So we pray what he says. We don't need to go out there and curse the darkness. It's already been cursed. We don't need to curse evil men. We just need to speak godly men and women into those places. Amen? It's a little side note. So restoration is taking place in the governments. Restoration is also taking place in the church, in the body of Christ. Have you seen things begin to shift a bit? All of a sudden, there was a level playing field. Mega church down the street and tiny little church, and suddenly nobody's able to meet anywhere. You can't say, oh, we had 3,000 in attendance. Well, we had 24. No, it's all online. And unless you're really looking at the stats closely, you're not really sure. And there's an opportunity for things to be changed in the church because there are some stuff that God wanted to right. There are some ways that the church had gotten into. Unity is being restored. The church is being reminded who the head is. It's not the local pastor. It's not the apostle. Who is the head? Christ. Being reminded who we take our directions from. Being reminded how to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit to do God's will in the earth. I love how in so many ways House of the Lord was prepared. when these things happen, when this stuff hit. Pastor Jim put a mighty foundation in us that when they said, no church, no going to church, you're going to have to shut her down, you're going to have to do this, we said, oh, we're having church. That's not a question. How are we going to do it? God, what do you want us to do? We did some different things. We didn't meet for a while. Then we met for a while. We're not worried about posting a whole lot of instructions about social distancing and masks. If you want to wear it, if you want to sit six feet from people, that's fine. But we're not concerned about those things because we knew God had a plan and we were ready. I know a lot of churches that did a lot of scrambling trying to figure out how to handle it. There are churches that before anything ever happened different, they laid off their pastors and their ministers and their staff. Because they said, well, we're not going to have any income, so we got to get rid of this because I got to have my check. But, you know, but it was not so in House of the Lord because the word has been planted in us and we were readied. So God is changing some things in the church and it's exposing some of those things. Unity is being restored. There's no competition. There should be no competition. There are enough people in Austin that we could have a church on every street corner and still be full when the awakening happens. Amen? I don't need to compete for anybody because if God didn't send that family to us, we don't need them and they don't need us. We want them where they need to be. When you get where you're not supposed to be, what happens? Remember Jonah, you know? Bad stuff. Bad stuff. So competition is going by the wayside, understanding the mission. You know, there are a lot of churches that they looked really good on the outside. You know, they had a beautiful edifice. They had the big, nice, fancy, shiny coffee shop when you walked in. And I would love to have that. We'll have that someday. I don't have anything against it. You know, the big, all the comfy couches in the youth room and all the space and so many wonderful things. But it's kind of like Matthew 23:27, where Jesus was talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. And he said, you're like whitewashed tombs that appear beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of dead men's bones. But guess what? Enter Ezekiel. What is God doing with those dead bones? He is restoring. He is breathing the breath of life into them. It's okay to have the beautiful edifice and the comfy couches and the nice coffee shop. That's wonderful. But the inside should be even more beautiful than the outside. And God wants that restored in his church. So that is happening. But we understand that each of these, that governments and that the church are still made up of individual units. And we know that a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. So this is where we come down to the understanding that in the restoration of the earth and the government and the restoration of the church begins with the restoration of me, the restoration of you and of your family. You know, the enemy looks for those weak spots to come in. He looks for the stragglers on the back. He walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. God wants every single brick in the wall strong, able. I can do my part. I am not weak. And the enemy comes and we resist him and we look to God and there's not even a fight because he doesn't find a weak place in us. That's how God wants us to be. So restoration is taking place in man. What is God restoring? First of all, he's restoring the temple. God has always wanted to dwell with his man. With Adam, he would walk with him in the cool of the day. When he brought him out of captivity, he wanted to commune with them. And they were like, you know what, Moses? That mountain is really scary. We're going to stand over here and you let us know what he says. And the enemy has tried to bring the same thinking into the church. You know what? It takes a lot of time and effort to pray, and I don't know if I'm getting it right. So, Pastor, I'm going to do my job, and you let me know what God says. God wants to dwell in and speak to each one of us. So God, when everything shut down, he said, I want you to come back to me. Not just to church, not just to read your Bible, but talk to me, spend time with me. He's restoring that place of communion and fellowship where we seek him, we worship him, we talk to him. And then he reveals himself, he refreshes and heals us with his presence. And he talks to us. He wants to talk to every single one of his children. He wants you to know from his voice that you're loved, that you are precious, and he has things to say to you. And he is talking to you, I believe, even now. The question is, have we tuned into that frequency where we can hear him? Have we shut out all the noise and the distractions so that we can listen? So God is restoring the temple within us. It's evangelistic because there are people that have not yet had that temple within them. They've not yet met God. They've not yet built that place of communion, and they need to be brought in. But it's also a deepening of the function of that temple for others. We've known God for decades. We've known about him. But have we really known him? When was the last time you asked God a question and you heard the answer? Just some simple, little simple checkup, simple diagnostics. When was the last time you weren't sure what to do and you asked him and he told you? Now, maybe he used a minister. Maybe he used a preacher on TV. He took you to a scripture, or, you know, it happens to me sometimes just watching TV and something will happen. It was like, I see it now, God. I get it. Some made-up fiction on TV. God will speak to you in many different ways, but he will speak to you. Are you listening? When was the last time you were refreshed in his presence? You knew that he was there. You felt the weight of his glory. You felt his beauty and his love for you, and you were not at church or at a Christian worship event. When was the last time that happened? Just you and God. You're sitting on the floor. Maybe you got some praise music on. God wants that with you. It is necessary because that's where refreshing comes from. And God wants us to be refreshed and whole. Amen? So the restoration as it was in the Old Testament with Ezra of the temple is priority. It's first, and that's what God has been doing. And he is doing that within us, and I believe we could say has done that to a great extent within many of us who have answered that call and pressed in. Now, the spirit of man is restored at salvation. Your spirit doesn't need anything. Your spirit is one with God, okay? The problem is who's in charge? And that's where this next process comes in, the restoration of the soul. Because your body is not going to get saved, it's not going to be glorified until Jesus comes. So you got three, body, soul, and spirit. What am I going to do today when your body and your unrenewed mind get together? Your spirit is outvoted. That's why it is necessary to renew, to restore your mind, your soul, so that that directs your function and you are one with God in your spirit and your soul is not arguing against it but understands the purpose. That's what lets you be mighty in the earth. So the restoration of the soul is necessary. And I see that as the restoration of the walls, the healthy boundaries, the this is where I will live and this is where I will not. The covenant that you make with God. I will serve you and I will not serve another. The healthy life, the healthy mind, a healthy thought process. Getting rid of dysfunction and things that are considered breaches in your wall, in your soul. Whether it's from the attack of the enemy, where he came against you, it could be from dysfunction you grew up with. You didn't really understand how to relate to a father. You never had a father. Suddenly there's a father God, and I'm not sure how that's supposed to work. All of those things are breaches in the wall. It's the fall in the earth that took us away from the whole man that God wanted us to be. Proverbs 25:28 says, he who has no rule over his own spirit, over his own life, over the forces within him is like a city that is broken down and without walls. You are a city. You are a dwelling place of the Most High God, and there is function in you. There is purpose in you. There is economy in you. There is stuff to do inside of you. But when your spirit man is there, but the city and the walls are broken down, you're going to be held back. Sometimes you just don't know how to do things. Sometimes you don't know how to make things work. Sometimes things just hurt. Sometimes your heart just hurts because of what's been done. Sometimes your body hurts because of the pain that the enemy brought in with the curse. God wants all of those things restored within his man, and that is what he is doing. And it sounds so glorious to say the restoration of all things, but then what it comes down to is my inability to get over that rejection complex. That everybody's thinking that there's something wrong with me. So there probably is. So it's just easier to stay home than to face those things. And God wants to work on that. And he wants to show you how truly fabulous you are. And that the only acceptance you need is from your Father God. And he has made you whole. Those are the things that he wants to do with us. That when the enemy can come in and out of your life and take what he wants, when he can keep you from being yourself and being blessed, when he can keep you from living in peace and rest and being whole and complete, it's because your walls have been breached and we need restoration. Your city doesn't have walls, proper godly boundaries for who you are in Christ and what belongs to you and how to use it in service to God and man. We'll get more into that in a little bit. So the process of restoration is restoring those walls around us. A city that doesn't have any walls has no protection. You cannot station a watchman on the wall if there is no wall. And when the enemy comes over the horizon, they're just going to race right on in because of the holes and the breaches. So a city with no walls has no protection. Broken walls is minimal protection and limited function. If the walls are broken, so are the gates. The gates to the city, the gates that allow the wealth in, the gates that send assistance out for maybe another city that needs help. The flow of the economy, what happens in that city, goes through the gates. And if your gates have been burned down, then maybe there are things that are inside of you that come out that shouldn't. And maybe there's assistance that God wants to send, but you've built walls where there used to be gates. And you don't let anybody in. Nobody gets there. Nobody gets to that place. I'm sorry. And the interesting part is that we don't always know that that's where we're living. I need you to understand that there are things inside of you that you don't know and understand that God wants to bring out in the coming days. And what's going to happen is you're going to think the enemy is trying to attack me and steal from me. And God's like, I'm just trying to show you a weak spot. Because if you'll come to me with it, the enemy can't have you. He cannot pluck you out of my hand. But I can't stop you from climbing out. He wants us to come to him with those things. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me get back to where we should be. So God wants to heal those things. It's originally the work of the enemy that has caused anything us that is less than perfect. That was his desire, to break down God's man, to break down the family unit, to make the church dysfunctional so that he could make the governments evil and take over the world, basically. That's his plan every day. So it's the work of the enemy that does that. It comes from wounds, trauma, and drama in our lives. It comes from listening to the lies of the enemy within ourselves and from others. If you watch TV very much, you're hearing lies. Okay? Because it's not rooted in the truth of the Word of God. It may have a little bit of truth in it. But the rest is going to be a lie, and it's going to shape an understanding in you. And if you watch, you know, too much Oprah and the talk or whatever it is, and you get a little pain in your side, I mean, right then you've decided you've got pancreatic cancer. It's all over. You're planning your funeral. The thoughts that the enemy plants in us to bring us down, they come from many places. And that is part of what breaches those places inside of us. And when our soul is not restored, with our mind renewed, then our body is usually going to tell us what to do. I want chocolate. I'm going to have chocolate. That's it. It doesn't matter that it's not good for me. I don't care right now because life is hard and I need to enjoy something. So I know some of you have heard that voice before. ice cream, you know, whatever it is, potato chips, whatever it is. I want this and my neighbors have this and I'm going to get it and I don't care. I'm going to go into debt to get it. I'm going to manipulate somebody around me to get this because this is what I want. That's what happens when your mind is not renewed. And then what happens when you get what you want? You pay for it in very challenging ways. And then the enemy is only too quick to come in and say, well, it's all your fault. You're the one that decided to do that. You were the one that was stupid enough to listen to that. And look at you now. I mean, how evil is that to make you do it and then to blame it on you? That's our enemy. So we need to find that place of restoration. Remember, Paul said, that which I would not, that I do. That is a war that is within us. But renewing the mind, restoration, brings that way down, minimizes it. The enemy still comes, but he's like, you're like Jesus when he said, he's got nothing in me. I found nothing and no foothold. No ground, nowhere to come in and get a hold and twist your heart and make you feel guilty and make you feel stupid and make you feel unwanted and make you angry at the world and make you all of these things that God has already delivered you from that you don't have to walk in. So God wants to restore within us. And because of the Word of God, that is our restoration material. Okay, I want you to lay hold of that. The Word of God is your restoration material, okay? That's what repairs. That is the only thing that will last. That is the only material that can be used for restoration inside of you. So praise God that it is possible. So the restoration of my soul, okay, that means the rebuilding of the walls. What does that look like? Tell me something about that process. Let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3, starting in verse 11. Says, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Anointed Word. That is the foundation. But if anyone builds upon the foundation, whether it be with gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and straw, the work of each one will become known and shown for what it is. For the day of Christ, the anointing, will disclose and declare it, because it will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test and critically appraise the character and the worth of the work each person has done, of what has been built. So this is where we see how we have dealt with what was dealt to us. When the fire comes, there are different ways that the fire comes. There's the refiner's fire that God puts us through for purification. There's the fire of the attack of the enemy, which I believe sometimes God uses as a refiner's fire in us. But let me tell you, fire comes, okay? Fire comes. Now, what happens to wood, hay, and straw in the fire? They are burnt up. When we have attempted to patch things up in our own heart, in our own life, and we use some mud and we use some hay and we thought we did a pretty good job, and then the fire comes, It's burned out. It's gone again. There's a hole again. It revealed the work that we had done and that it was not done with the right materials. Did you ever have somebody come and do a repair on your house and it lasted about 3 weeks? And you find out they didn't use the right material, they didn't use the right, I don't know, grout or tile or whatever, and stuff starts cracking and falling apart again. You got to use the right materials so that it will last, so that it will stay. Psalm 107:20 says, He sent His word and healed them. He sent His word and delivered them from destruction. He sent His word and repaired with something that was stronger than what was there and left us better because of His word. Amen. Instead of receiving the word, we try to patch things up ourselves. I love the scripture, I can do all things through the anointing that infuses me with divine ability. And we think, oh, when it gets really hard, I can call on God. But today, I'm just a little sad, so I'm just going to put some music on that I like to listen to that has nothing to do with the Word of God and His plan and just, you know, enjoy things myself. No, we should do all things, the little things, the seemingly unimportant things, through the anointing, because we're building within us when we do those things. So when those things are revealed in the ways that we've done it, there are holes again. And it reinforces what we feel like is emptiness. And the enemy comes back in and says, see there, it can't be done. It can't be fixed. You tried. You did your best. It's not possible. But we know that with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. The materials that need to be used are the Word of God and the things that will withstand the fire. When those places are revealed, the holes, the pain, the challenges, the dysfunction, the inability, when we begin to see those things and realize that the Holy Spirit says, I want to work on this right here, and we get past the whole, I rebuke you, devil. Oh, this is God trying to do something. He says, I want to work on you here. He wants to restore us with precious stones, with beauty. The challenge is whether or not he can get a work permit from you. How many of you have ever tried to get a work permit from the city of Austin? I've seen perfectly sane men just about go crazy trying to work with the city. Don't be like the city of Austin, okay? When God says, I want to do this, let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do. What does that look like? Run to God, not from him. God, this is hard, but I know you're going to bring me through this. It's easier to run away from him, because when you get away from that fire and that anointing, maybe you don't feel it so much. But God says, if you don't deal with it now, you're just going to come right back to it. It's just going to keep happening. Sometimes we realize we think we've pretty much got it together, and it's like, wow, I'm not perfect. You mean I'm not perfect, God? Own it. It's okay. Ain't nobody got it all together. And when you find out that you don't have it all together, run back to the master builder and let him show you how to put it together. I want to show you some things that he's going to do with that. Sometimes that process is painful. It's like surgery on a wound. There's already an issue there, and now you want to go in and cut some more and stick needles in there and do all kind of stuff. But understand that the love of God and the presence of God is the anesthetic that will let you go through it with a minimum of pain. And the pain that you have will be a victory and a trophy, because you stood it, you took it, and now you're stronger. What do they say? No pain, no gain. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 54, starting in verse... I don't have my glasses on. I think it's 22. You can let me know if I'm wrong. I think maybe it's 18. Isaiah chapter 54. It says, O you afflicted city, storm-tossed and not comforted, behold, I will set your stones in fair colors, in antimony. Antimony is like a metal substance that you would use as a setting that would really display the brilliance and the beauty of a stone. In antimony to enhance their brilliance, and I will lay your foundations with sapphires, and I will make your windows and pinnacles of sparkling agates or rubies, and your gates of shining carbuncles, that's like a fiery stone, and all your walls of precious stones. You have had challenge after challenge, fight after fight, and you just feel like an ugly mess. But God says, I want to make you a thing of beauty. I want to set you on a hill, city, where you cannot be hidden. And I want the light to shine through you, and I want the world to see you as a display of my glory. You, yeah, you. Whoever you are, whether you're 5 years old or 55 or 95, that's what God wants to do inside of you. So that revelation of how to receive the restoration comes from his word on all things. Remember, Jesus is the chief cornerstone, the beginning of the building materials, and everything else that is set in you, in your walls, has to measure up to him, to the word. Are you getting the picture? He wants to build strength into you, and that strength is beauty. Psalms 12 and 6 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of the earth, purified seven times. That building material that it talked about in Corinthians of gold and silver, those things cannot be destroyed in the fire. So understanding his ways of life are what restore our souls and the breaches in our walls. He wants to restore from Joel chapter 2, verses 25 and 26. He says, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, and the hopping locust, and the destroyer, and the cutter. I didn't know there were so many different kinds of locust. Apparently the picture is that once one has come in and they've just left a few stubs, then the next one comes in and chews down on the stubs, and then the next one just leaves some, you know, mulch-looking stuff on the ground, and the next one comes and eats that up too. Every single thing is gone. The ground is bare. Have you felt that way? Things have been stolen from you. Things have been taken from you. Every single thing that could have been considered good and beautiful about you has gotten eaten up somehow from the curse and the fall and the enemy. But God said, I will restore. Jeremiah 30:17 says, I'll restore health to you, and your wounds I will heal. We were not supposed to be sick. We were not supposed to be feeble. We were not supposed to be weak. That was something that was stolen from us, and God says, I want to restore it. There is a way. You can go to the doctor and spend hundreds of thousands in doctor's bills and run up your insurance and take one pill, and then you have to take another pill because of what that pill does to you, and then you got to take another pill because those two are doing this to you, and it doesn't end. But God said, if you'll come to me, I will show you in my word. I sent my word and healed you. It's already been done. Psalm 51:12 says, David is praying and he says, God, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Just to wake up in the morning with joy on the inside. Why? I don't know. God's good. I got a court date today. Looks like it could be an issue. But I got joy. I've got peace that passes understanding. It doesn't make any sense. Stuff still happens, you know? It's not like everything ceases and you live in a big glass bubble where it's just sunshine and blue skies and butterflies all day. We still live in the real world. But something on the inside is different. I am up to this. I can handle this. Brother Ethan, I got what it takes to do this. I got it because I've got God. I'm not worried about it. Restoration of that joy. John 10:10 says, the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I came to give life more abundantly. Not just okay life, not just a good life, Not just, yeah, it's all right. No, abundantly, life, joy, and peace. Psalm 23, he restores my soul. Every place that I've been hurt, every place that I've been wounded, every place that doesn't work right, every place where I can't figure out how to make this happen the way it should, he brings restoration from him alone. Proverbs 6:31 tells us that when you find the thief that stole from your house, he's got to pay back seven times. Not just a restoration of what you lost, but better than before. So understand that in this time of restoration, this is the season, the era, the time that we are in, the restoration of all things. Your heart is going to be revealed to you. Your heart is going to be tried. The refiner's fire is going to show you where you thought you had it taken care of. And suddenly something comes out of you that you don't like. I have said that to God so many times. God, I really want, you know, something bad to happen to that person. Can you just strike them with lightning? And then I feel, y'all don't look at me so holy. Y'all know. You did that at least once. But I follow that up with, but God, I don't like that in my heart. It doesn't look like you. You died for them just as much as you died for me. So fix me. Show me how to get that out of my heart so that I love and want to see this person restored. I got to be restored to be a part of that. So God wants to do those things within us. Your heart's going to be revealed. Old wounds that you thought were taken care of. I've been speaking with someone lately who's dealing with something that happened about 38, 40 years ago. Thought it was taken care of, it was dealt with, and all of a sudden stuff's begin to come out. Realizing that it wasn't dealt with, it was just shoved down. Pushed down, swept under the rug. I'm just going to keep going. At some point, God says, let's clean out from under the rug. Let's get rid of what you use that is not going to last. Why? Because he wants to exalt you. He wants to use you. He wants to elevate you. And if he elevates you and you've got wood, hay, and stubble, enemy's going to know that. That's what he's coming after. So for our own good, he reveals these things to us. And that's your opportunity to release yourself to the work of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you were hurt by an authority figure in your life. And suddenly God brings you to work for someone that challenges that within your soul. And this is where you want to rebuke the devil and say, God made a mistake, because he wouldn't make me work for somebody like that, because he knows that hurts. And God says, no, 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 no. I want you tough enough that you can work with anybody and be strong enough and have no issues. But you got to own it. And you got to step up to it and let God bring that healing. That's when your temple, remember we talked about restoring our temple, the place of communion with God, that's when your temple is tested. Because now I got to figure out, God, what did you intend for this? How did you intend for this to go forward? How do I find that place of healing? And that's where, if you haven't heard the answer to a question in a long time, you're going to be a little stumped, because I don't know what to do. But when the temple's been restored, you go before the presence of God and you seek his face and you say, show me what to do. Show me what to do. And he says, I want you to put this song on and just spend some time worshiping me. No, 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 God, I need to deal with this person over here. And he says, no, I need you to put this song on and spend some time in my presence. And something happens on the inside of you that you can't do. You don't know how. No surgeon can reach it. But God, in his infinite wisdom, with his precious presence, will come in and meet you there and heal that in you. And it'll be really cool, because you'll wake up in the morning and that's not the first thing you think of. How did that happen, God? But it happened because you heard his instructions. So that's where the temple has to be restored first. Because when it's time to do the building process, you're going to have to cooperate. What do? I can't always tell you. Now, God may give you a word through Sister Jerry or Brother Rudy and give you some instruction, and that's wonderful and that's helpful, but they're not going to be there every minute of every day. And generally, God gives us glimpses, not a detailed outline. I want the outline. I want a detailed outline with pictures. Yes, draw me a picture and give me a list. I want it all. And God says, one step at a time. Well, what is that step, God? Well, come in a little closer. Spend some time with me and I'll show you. This is not just an appointment. This is fellowship. This is getting to know your Father. Those are the things that He wants us to do. So God wants to bring wholeness by teaching us how to go through those things. And you know, we need to understand and embrace the fact that our fellow believers are part of that process. Sometimes we're going to go home until we get it all straight so we can come in looking all holy and fine and everything's good. And, you know, sometimes you need to be sucking carpet with mascara rolling down your face, looking really strange. And you don't care because you want to be whole so much more than you want to look whole. And God puts people around you that will love you when they see, you know, the mascara rolling down your face and some weird stuff's going on and you got your hair all messed up because you fell on the floor and things are wrong within you. And God sends somebody like Sister Lou that says, you are beautiful just the way you are. Somebody that will love you that the enemy will try to tell you, oh, she's got it all together. Don't let her see your problems. And you got to be willing. You got to be willing to look ugly on the outside for a little while. You got to be willing to understand that you're still wrapped in some grave clothes. And a brother or a sister around you has got the know-how and the understanding to help loose those things. I reached out to someone this week for some information. I said, God told me to come to you. And she said, I would never have thought that I could help somebody with such spiritual seniority as you. And I had to back up and think, what are you talking about? And I'm a pastor. Well, okay, whatever. Anyway, I said, you have a skill set that people need. And when Lazarus is standing there trying to figure out what in the world has just happened to him, I was in heaven, everything was wonderful. Suddenly, bam, I'm back. I can't see anything. I'm stumbling around trying to figure out my way. If you've got hands, right then, you're helpful because you can take off the grave clothes, right? We need brothers and sisters around us. It's not a matter of who knows more and who knows less. It doesn't matter if you're the pastor, if you're the bishop, if you're the women's leader, if you're the children's leader, if you're just a visitor, if you're here for the first time. We all need to be real with the family. This is a family, okay? You can't see it as a hierarchy. Well, I got to look holier than them. It's a family. We got to go through this together. We got to be willing to let somebody else see our ugly because you know what? It encourages them that there's hope for their ugly because everybody got ugly. Y'all know that, right? Everybody. So we got to be willing to let those around us into our lives. Let them see what's going on because God's going to put people around you that have a skill set that's going to help you, that's going to reach you and get you out of that pit. Amen? I know I loved, Brother Brian was sharing about it a couple of weeks ago, talking about Lazarus and how miraculously, you know, God calls him from like a, you know, another place, another universe, and brings him back into a dead body that was decayed and corrupted, and somehow it's restored and it doesn't stink anymore, and he comes out of the tomb, and then he tells everybody else to take the grave clothes off. Couldn't he just like, you know, take that finger with the anointing and bzzz, right? But no, he said, you need your brothers and sisters, those around you, to help you get those off. So we got to participate in that process of letting them do that. I am so thankful that God wants to do these things in us. And when you've gone through and you've been repaired and you've been strengthened, then God wants to use you to help someone else. Galatians 6, chapter 6 and verse 1 says, "Brethren, if any person is overtaken in misconduct or sin of any sort," he's talking to the church, people got stuff going on and it's wrong, "you who are spiritual, who are responsive to and controlled by the Spirit." We think of spiritual as, well, I know something and you don't because I'm spiritual. It just means you're listening. Listening to the Holy Spirit. You're smart enough to keep your mouth shut and let God do what he wants to do. Those of you who are controlled by the Spirit, set him right. Restore him. Reinstate without any sense of superiority and with all gentleness, keeping an attentive eye on yourself because you're not above temptation as well. And then we look in Isaiah chapter 58. It says, "The Lord will guide you continually." I think it's starting in verse 11, I'm sorry. "The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and make fat your bones, and you will be like a well-watered garden and a spring of water. And they that shall be of thee," in other words, you and your people, "will build the old waste places. You will raise up the foundations of many generations, and you will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in." Why? Because you let it happen to you. Now you can be used in other people's lives to repair and restore. And see, that's the first wave that God is raising up, is those who are whole and who will come to him to be restored, because now he can send you out to do that work, wherever it is, on the job, the songs that you sing, the paintings that you paint, the businesses that you run, wherever it is, God wants restoration. But it starts in you. So God's bringing restoration in each of us, in the church, in the body, locally and corporately, and in governments in the earth. And as that restoration happens, then we can fully execute Genesis 1:28, which is to be fruitful and multiply and use all of the vast resources in service to God and to man. I can put you out there with what I put in you and know that you can stand whatever comes against you. And instead of being changed and knocked down by it, you're going to change it because you're whole, because your building materials are sure and strong, and you're going to look good doing it. You're going to look beautiful. Remember the precious stones, the beautiful stones that he builds us with. So I want to go back to Acts 3:21. And go back to verse 21, where it says, talking about Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration. When you study out that word restoration, there's basically three that word is translated as, three words that describe it. One is the word used in this translation, restoration, which is the act of returning something to a former owner, place, or condition, the return of a hereditary monarch to a throne. Putting God back on the throne of your life, understanding that you belong to him, not every wave that comes your way. Restoration, you're being restored. He's returning to the throne of your heart, and you are no longer the property of the enemy or his to hurt and control. The next word is restitution. Returning something that was stolen to its proper owner. And recompense for injury or loss. Wherever the enemy has stolen, God wants to bring recompense. He wants to make you better than you were before. He wants to return those things to you. Restitution. And then the last is reconstitution, which is to restore something that has been dried out with water. The washing of the water of the word. The washing of regeneration. The wells of living water of the Holy Spirit within you, bringing a reconstitution so that you are a well-watered garden, washed with the water of the word. All of these things that God has said need to happen should happen before Jesus comes. And it begins in you. How many of you see some places where you need some restoration? Some things that need to be made whole? I want to do what I saw us do, and I know we're close to time to be done, but I want to ask the ministers to come up here, and I'm going to ask Pastor Richard to go onto the piano and just begin to play. And if you have seen, if you are experiencing, if you have experienced an area in your life where restoration is needed, maybe it's healing, maybe it's hurt in your heart, maybe it's anger, maybe you feel rejected, maybe it's I can't get this parenting thing right, my parents didn't know what they were doing and now it's been passed on to me. Maybe it's finding the right partner. I keep picking losers. God, how do I pick a winner? What is it in your life that needs restoration? Maybe you need to restore the temple. Maybe you just need to reestablish that communion with God. Whatever it is in you, we know that God is already working on it. And we know that you don't have to have a man lay hands on you in order to effect it. But I can tell you that it is helpful to have someone agree with you for the process. So I'm going to ask everyone to stand right now. Where's our praise team? Can we just sing, Lord, Prepare Me? And I want to invite you to come. If there's a place that you want or need that restoration or that healing touch, and if you just want agreement, but if you don't come, I'm going to ask you to just sing this song and participate in this process of, Lord, Prepare Me. Make me whole. Amen. Let's sing it.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and
that if you come forward, it means, well, you don't have it all together. It just means you're being honest with what's going on inside of you. Let God work within you this morning.
Sanctuary.
restoration. Thank you that you are changing us, Father. You're sending your word, your Holy Spirit working within us, Father, shoring up all the places, Father, where we need protection, where we need understanding. You are bringing it by your Holy Spirit. And we are thankful, Father, that as we go, we have the teacher within us. The teacher within us to show us the ways to walk in, to show us the ways to be strengthened, to show us ways of healing and restoration. The voice of the enemy is quieted, and we hear your voice alone, and the voice of another we will not follow. But we follow after you, and Father, I thank you that you are restoring. You are restoring our souls. According to your word, Father, be it unto us. Make us whole. Make us the beautiful vessels that you've destined for us to be, so that we can function in your house and be a thing of beauty and blessing as you desire, Father. That was your plan from the beginning. And we choose to submit to it. We choose to yield to it, Father. We choose to follow after you, to seek your face, and to know that you will guide us with your eye. And the teacher is within us and will say, this is the way, walk in it. And tell us when to turn left and when to turn right. And we know that you always lead us in victory. You lead us continually in truth and triumph and victory. So I want you people to begin to lift your voice and thank God for the victory that has already been given to you. Father, we thank you. Oh, we thank you for triumphs, Father. We thank you for testimonies of your glory. Father, we thank you that you lead us continually in victory. Father, that we have overcome because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony of Jesus, that we decree that we are healed, that we are whole, that we are strong, and we are well because of you, because you are good, because you are always working in our behalf. We give you all the glory, the honor, the praise, and the thanksgiving, Father. You are worthy, 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 worthy. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, the Lord. Hallelujah. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord. It's been good to be in his presence. I appreciate all of you being here, not at the lake somewhere. But I pray that your week is full of blessings, of good things, of restoration, of peace, and of joy. Amen. Amen. Would you speak a blessing?
Remember, Thursday night prayer, Wednesday night assembly, Thursday night prayer. Tomorrow's Memorial Day. Take a little time and just thank God for all of those people who have lost their lives in service to the country, in the military, those that have fought. There's a lot of them. Just keep it cognizant in your mind and thank the Lord for their sacrifice. And then don't forget the greatest sacrifice of all is our Savior as he redeemed us. Amen. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your week. I call you blessed. You are taught of the Lord, so great is your peace and undisturbed composure. You are far from oppression, and you're surrounded with favor, surrounded with his goodness, abundance, his joy, his laughter, his peace. Go with God. You are blessed. We'll see you on Wednesday. Amen.